Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. And good morning, Den. Welcome to our podcast this week, buddy. Pull up a stool. How you doing?
Good, Doug. Glad to be here.
And pull up a stool.
Yeah.
I sound like I went a little Swedish there.
Yeah, yeah.
So how's your week been, partner?
Yeah, pretty good. Weather's kind of crappy up here, but other than that, can't complain.
Yeah, we had a rough one yesterday. It was raining off and on, but I was happy. It was my birthday yesterday. I want to thank everybody for the happy birthday wishes. My phone was blowing up yesterday. It was nice, but every 5 minutes it was going off.
It
was nice.
Good to be loved.
Yeah, it's good to know that people actually are listening and following us.
Right.
So
right.
It was nice, and then I'm really special because I share my birthday with Lou Mangiello.
Oh wow! Well, you're in rare company there.
Yeah, talking about the top of the Disney food chain and the bottom of the Disney food chain celebrating a birthday all on the same day.
Yeah, it must be lonely down there for Lou.
Yeah, really. Yeah, buddy. You're on my team. I know you are.
Right.
Somebody has to be, right?
That's right.
Yes. So we're going to get into a little bit of news, a little bit of perspective here. We talked a lot about the food and wine during the week. We did a weekly show this week. It was fun with Bob Sikon, or I like to call Sicken. But
yeah, Bob was great on the show. Those of you that haven't heard it, go to podbean.com, WDW Main Street, and download that show. It's a great sneak peek / preview of this year's festival. So if you're interested in food and wine, we got you covered.
Yeah, or hop on the iTunes and download it. Please give us a review. We need everyone we can get right now with the new feed. So
yes.
We're begging. But it was a lot of fun. He gave us a lot of perspective. It was good. I can't wait to get you used to give us your reviews on it.
Yeah, so. We're looking forward to it. And hopefully you're going to be heading down maybe for food and wine. We'll see how that goes.
We're hoping. We were speaking to her yesterday, and she might be leaving for her grandson's birthday party that week. So I might have to go the week before. To get her stuff, so it's very
fluid
touch right now. I'm trying to get her to wait till after she gets back, but I'm not gonna make her. I'm not gonna make her ask again. You know what I mean? I just want to get it down to her at this point.
I hear you. As long as you get to go, that's the important thing.
It don't matter. I mean, I would love to go again, but I don't really care, dude. I just want to walk. I just want to pull into Riverside and chill. That's all I care about.
There you go.
So, to get on to the news, then, I know we got a little bit of stuff going on, and then we'll get into a couple more things with food and wine, some specials they have. But you were telling me the Kona Island Pool was closing for refurbishment.
Yeah, I got a group of things here. I'll just go over briefly just the closing. Some of them we've heard of before. Some of them may be new. But there's quite a few having to do with the Poly, and we've been hearing about them all summer, and a couple more venues are starting to close, one of which is the Barefoot Pool, I think, that you mentioned. That's going to be closed from the 26th, or was closed on the 26th of July. It's not going to open until March 31st, so that's, I guess they're jacking that whole thing right out of there. It sounds like that's a pretty long time to be closed.
Yeah, you're going to have to hop on the monorail and head over. Well, there's other pools at the Polynesian, but if you want to go to the main pool, you can go over to the Contemporary, or I'm sure they'll let you at the Floridian.
Right. Well, like we've said before, unless you can't avoid it, it's probably better to, forego any stays at the Poly for the next 6 to 12 months, I would say, just, because it's, as we all know, a beautiful resort. But right now it's just it's full of construction walls and things that are closed, which it's unfortunate, but you got to go through the rough patch to get to the other side, which I'm sure it'll be beautiful.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to just seeing the construction going on, but that's just me.
Right, right. Yeah, construction wall city. But anyways, let me briefly go through these, and then we can hit the food and wine stuff you had mentioned. Cinderella's Royal Table is going to be closed from January 5th to March 6th. The magic carpets of Aladdin over in the Magic Kingdom were closed November, are going to close November 10th to November 21st. The Walt Disney World Railroad is going to close September 28th and reopen on November 8th. Carousel of Progress going to close the 22nd of September and reopen just a few days later on the 27th. So they're probably just doing some painting or carpet replacement, I would think. Mickey's PhilharMagic closed September 8th to September 19th. Over at the Wilderness Lodge, the Silver Creek Springs pool is going to be closed September 3rd to November 27th. Kona Island is going to be closing, or did close on August 8th, will be, excuse me, to September 30th. That's a new one that had previously been open, but it's going to close now. The All-Star Music Resort, the Intermission Food Court, is going to be closed, or it closed on August 1st and will reopen on December 20th. So that's going to get a whole refurb similar to one of the other resorts. I think they got their food court refurbed a while ago, so they're probably following suit here, I would think.
Yeah, all three will eventually be done, I would say.
Yeah, they need it. They've been there for a while, and I heard good things about the new, the renovated one. I don't know if it's sports or music, which one it is, but they said they really did a good job at it. So
I think it was the music one. I'm almost sure they said it's really nice.
Yeah,
it really was night and day, the difference of the remodel. I seen some pictures. I just forget, because I, like everybody does, we lump all three of those resorts together. I consider one resort three spaces.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree. On an interesting one here, we touched on this in the news last week, and we got some more information come out. The Haunted Mansion merchandise that is going to be sold starting this fall, they actually found a location for it, and it's going to be where the Yankee Trader is now, which is that little store on the left-hand side if you come out of the Haunted Mansion. They usually have, like, candles and Americana stuff, if you will, flags and patriotic stuff. I guess they're going to – well, they are. They closed it on the 28th of July. It's going to reopen on September 30th, and that's where you're going to get your Haunted Mansion merchandise. So it looks like
– I'm going to miss that.
Yeah, that's it was a neat little store to go in. I agree, Doug, but – you know, they need. Remember, we were talking about, you know, are they going to put something in the Emporium? Or are they going to build a kiosk outside? And they've answered that question. It's going to. I would imagine they'll change the name of it, and you know, that's where you're going to get your Haunted Mansion gear. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, and I'll miss that too on this trip. I think I'll be there and I'll go on by the time that trip starts.
Yeah.
By the time that opens.
Yeah. Well, you can see the construction, so you'll be happy.
Yeah, I'll be happy. I can peek in.
Right. We already mentioned the Barefoot Pool Bar, which is closed on the 26th. We open on March 31st. Trader Jack's over at the Pauley also, that closed back in June and won't open until December 31st.
With
so,
the Polynesian at this point, you should start reading what's open.
Yeah, I mean, really, just it's pretty much everything's closed. That's what I'm saying. I feel bad for the, you know, the poor family that didn't do any homework and just chose the Pauley out of a brochure or something like that and show up and see all that. They'd be disappointed.
Well, yeah, well, that's why you use a travel agent, because I don't even know. I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't, but if you called in to book, I don't know if they would tell you when you're booking that it's under construction.
Yeah, I don't know. You would hope they would, but I don't know.
Maybe I ought to do a little recon mission.
Just to see what they say.
Just
right?
Call in and say I'm looking for some prices for the Pauley, and just to see what the deal is, see if they'll warn you about that.
Right.
All that going on there.
You would think they would, because if, you know, if somebody showed up there and they were really upset at the all the construction going on, you would think Disney would have to rebook them at the, you know, the Contemporary or one of the other resorts. So to avoid all that, you think they'd just tell them up front. But, you know, or, I mean, I haven't heard this, so I got to assume they're not doing it. You think they'd give you a break in price to say, look, if you can put up with a little bit of aggravation, we're willing to give you a discounted rate to stay there.
Yeah, they don't like to set any precedents on
anything.
No,
I know. That's a slippery slope, right?
Well, you know, it's like if somebody hasn't been there, ain't my bad English,
Yeah.
hasn't been there since, you know, 4 or 5, 6 years, and they're just going back, and that's their resort. They stayed at their honeymoon or something like that.
Right.
They just call up and book it. They're like Disney, but they're not like us where they're nuts about it. You could end up being very unhappy.
Right. And, you know, Disney would make it right. I mean, unless you're there at a time where all the resorts are booked up, which is very rare, but there are times when there is a pressure on the inventory of rooms, that could be a difficult conversation.
Yeah, and there's other people, too, that are, and you know the type, that they won't complain unless the world's falling down around them. So
right.
they would get stuck, you know, just dealing with it.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough thing. It'd be interesting,
you know,
to know if they do disclose that up front.
I mean, the room that you're going to stay in and all that, and the other pools and all, don't get me wrong, it's still 1,000 times nicer than most resorts. But if you were going down and planning on having your old Polly, it's not going to be.
Right.
Right now. So.
No, I agree.
I'm just happy the train hopefully is still going to be open when I'm there, because it looks like I'm going down now, September 12th and 13th through the 18th. So it looks like my Mr. Railroad and Carousel should still be open for me.
Yep, you're going to just get in under the wire on those two.
What about the TTA? Is that still down?
TTA, where is that? Yeah, Transit Authority, right. June 2nd to August 4th.
Ooh, so that'll be open when I'm down, too.
Yep, you should be all set. And the Astro Orbiter, I know you go on that all the time, too, June 2nd to September 27th.
No, that'll be closed, and I won't care.
Right,
that's
right.
Not one of my favorites. Let me put it this way: I don't mind. I like seeing it there.
Right.
It's an old staple.
Mm-hmm.
Looks cool up in the air, flipping around and all, spinning around and all. But nah, Astro Orbiter and me are not friendly.
No, you're right. It's a good decoration, if you will, for the Tomorrowland. But that's about it.
That's what it is to me—an oversized tchotchke.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
that's all I have for refurbs.
Well, okay, that's quite a few, and you listed most of them on our website, right?
Yes, I'll be updating that. Most of them are up there, but I need to update that, so that will be done shortly.
Yep, so go ahead over to our website after the show at WDW Magical Main Street Memories, and you could check out, Dennis always does the list of the refurbs. And check out all of our sponsors while you're there. We actually have people that like us then.
Yeah, we got quite a few sponsors now, and we always appreciate the listeners, showing their love for our show by visiting their sites and booking things through them, so please do.
So did you hear about the Four Seasons opening?
Briefly, I saw something about it, but I guess you did a little homework on that.
A little bit. It's really beautiful. It looks nice. It's in the Golden Oak area. So
high roller area.
Yeah, exactly. Would you expect anything less?
Well, I'll never be there, that I know.
No, unless I hit this Mega Million next week, and I'll be staying there while I'm waiting for them to build my house in Golden Oak, you know what I mean?
Right, right. I was listening to the Disney Parks podcast, and they are going to have a lot of nice restaurants, so they had the head guy from the Four Seasons on, and I think there's 4 or 5 different restaurants that are going to be on site there, and they went through the menus and everything, and they're definitely going to add to the dining opportunity. So even if I never stay there, I could see myself potentially, going for dinner over there at some point.
Oh, absolutely. I could see it, too. I mean, if you go over, I'll give our friend, and she don't, you know, we have no affiliation with her, but we love her show, and she got us both her website. Probably both of us got addicted on Disney by reading her weekly newsletter, is Deb at All Ears.
Right.
She has a really good article on it, and if you guys go on allears.net, there's like 4 or 5 videos. It's like she's there at opening day and the whole 9 yards, and she's with the chefs, and it's a really good layout of the Four Seasons if you want to know about it. I mean, there's some pictures here of the ahi tuna, fresh made ravioli homemade veal ravioli, spinach and mushrooms. I mean, some of the plates look absolutely delicious. So
did she go? I'm just curious, Doug. She didn't go into price point or anything like that. I'm just curious.
No.
Like, is it on par with a California Grill or something like that as far as pricing? But
I don't see any pricing here, but I'm sure she'll have it listed soon on her website,
Right.
I would think. But they showed, I mean, there's a 7,590 square foot family pool in Lazy River area, and I actually seen the video on that. It looks really nice, and what's cool about it, there's these bridges, and they have these little handheld guns where you could shoot the people, water cannons that you could shoot the people floating underneath the river.
Yeah.
And it isn't like a big flow. Kind of like a sprinkle, like you know how you had your sprinkler on the front lawn.
Right.
It kind of comes out like the that on your hose or whatever,
right.
The sprinkle part. But it sure would be fun to see somebody half asleep on their little tube, and they're soaking up the sun, and they're nice and dry, and you smack them a little bit.
Yeah, kind of like Cali River Rapids, right?
Yeah, but you get to do it, and you're not getting wet yourself.
Right.
But I'd be interested in exploring the resort.
Yeah, it's one of those things if you have time. And, you know, for those of us that have been down there many, many times, if you're looking for a new dining experience similar to, you know, folks that make their way over to the Swan and Dolphin, you could probably do a similar thing here and not necessarily stay there if you don't want, but still enjoy the amenities, at least the restaurants.
Yeah, they're saying some aren't open. Like in September, it says the signature restaurant, Kappa. Or you say Kappa. It's C-A-P-A. I say Kappa. You might say Kappa.
Right.
Kappa,
right.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Will open as a Spanish steakhouse on the 17th floor of the resort.
Wow.
So that sounds pretty good. And to tapas and great steaks, there's an outdoor viewing area for the Magic Kingdom fireworks. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought I read, maybe it was on that podcast I listened to, that from the top floor in that resort, you'll be able to see all the fireworks that are going on in Disney World simultaneously. So Illuminations and Wishes or whatever is flying, and if they end up doing something permanently over at the studios. But I guess the sight lines affords you the, you know, option, I guess, to see all the fireworks. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm actually watching right now. I tell you all the time we record. I usually have the flat screen on YouTube, and I play Disney videos the whole time. I load them up. And right now they were actually showing the Four Seasons. And what it's showing is how you can actually see the ball from Epcot. You can see across the trees. You can see the Contemporary, Bay Lake Tower, the whole nine yards. And then it also shows you some of the Golden Oak houses and it's a pretty cool video if you want to get on and watch it.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a good video. But they also have, it's called the PB&G, is a pool bar and grill offering barbecue and rotisserie dining during the day. And foods were tested, and some of the best pool bar grill food was found here, they're saying, ever.
Wow.
That they ever had. So there's some pretty neat things here that says there's 2 days a week they're going to have character dining. There's a Ravello, is an Italian restaurant offering breakfast. It says twice a week, character meals with Goofy and his pals, as well as dinner. The dishes we sampled was pasta and fish, which are outstanding. So I'm sure the food's going to be ridiculous. The rooms are beautiful. They really look nice. They're not, no pun intended, but they're more contemporary from what they look like to me.
Right.
You know, the clean lines, elegant, you know what I'm saying.
Yep, absolutely.
So that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see it. Like you said, unless we hit the lottery, neither one of us will ever be staying there.
Yeah, unless they offer deals. You know, you never know. Like you've mentioned in the past, sometimes you can get a deal at the Swan and Dolphin if you're a teacher or affiliated with some other group. So you never know. If they have trouble getting folks in there, you know, maybe they'll offer some deals and that might make it affordable, I guess, to the regular guest, if you will.
I mean, they show the suites, and the suites are, like, ridiculous. They're, like, full, solid glass doors, walk-in showers, you know, marble tile, floor to ground. You know, I mean, they're gorgeous.
Right.
It's the creme de la creme,
yep.
You know what I mean? So, but on to the next one, Dan. Did you hear about they're offering specials for
food and wine.
Disney World Resort members for food and wine?
Yeah, I mean, again, this kind of falls in line with what we've been seeing. Really, almost every other week, a special package is coming out, and You know, for an upcharge, you can experience this, that, or the other thing. But the latest one that that come out in late July was Food and Wine Festival Premium Package, and this is exclusively for Walt Disney World Resort hotel guests. And basically, for $199, and if you're staying at one of the Walt Disney World resorts, which includes the Swan and Dolphin and Golden Oak. Basically, I'll read through the amenities package here, and then we can discuss. But you'll get an in-room gift bag, including a select bottle of wine, a festival wine glass, truffles, a premium package area credential. You'll also get a, or you'll receive a themed food and wine festival magic band and a $50 gift card. Exclusive premium package areas located around the World Showcase Promenade, where guests can order items from select marketplaces and have them delivered right to them without waiting in lines. You also get an admission to the Epcot Food and Wine Late Nights Live event taking place every Tuesday and Thursday from 9:45 to 1. This is the new event that we covered in last week's show that's basically an after-hours street party, and that's located between the United Kingdom and the World Showcase Plaza, and it includes six complimentary items from several food and wine marketplaces, and musical performances, entertainment, live DJ, and more. So for $199 per guest, you get all of those things, and you can kind of experience food and wine in a slightly different way. What's your thoughts on that, Doug?
I don't think it's, again, it's another thing to spend money on, but I don't think it's a horrible price point. I think it's just them making sure they have areas sold as far as, how can I put it? Because they're giving you money back. They're basically giving you $100 back, and you're paying $100 to be in the special area. Would you agree with that?
I would.
So basically, you're paying $100 to be waited on. Now, if that's worth it to you, fine. To me, I don't know if it would be. The cool part is that you do get in the after hours at one of the restaurants, which is cool to me, like Rose and Crown, blah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that is cool.
Magic
Band you would love,
right? Oh yeah, as a keepsake or a memento. I mean, and we can talk about this later, but I think that as these special events happen, and we talked about the Magic Bands, they're going to become very collectible, and you know, people are going to want commemorative Magic Bands from different events and attractions and such. So I could see this being a hot ticket item, if you will. But I was just going to, not to correct you, but I just want to be clear here. Earlier, I think we talked off air. I don't think you get admission to one of the restaurants. I think what it is you get an admission to that after hours party, which is the street party that's between the United Kingdom and World Showcase. But still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be the way I read it, but I guess I'm wrong. I thought you were going to get into one of those after hours, the tasting.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm reading here, and I don't see it. But yeah, because the street party would be going on simultaneously with the after hours. What do they call it? I forget what they call that, but you know, the four
wine and dine,
exactly. So it appears that is not included. It's the street festival. But to your point, you get to choose six items as part of the street party, so you're getting that. And I was thinking about the gift card. We were talking off air about this. I'll bet you they give you that so that I'm going to say waiter or waitress. That may not be the right term.
Server.
There you go, server. I mean, you still have to pay for this food when you're inside.
You're not digging for money.
Exactly.
You're not digging special credit cards.
They probably figured it'd make it easier if they give everybody a gift card. That way they can give it to the runner and they can, you know, swipe it at the register, wherever, whatever kiosk they're going to or whatever. I bet you that had something to do with it.
Absolutely, and you're guaranteed to spend $50.
That's easy.
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
It's like you're guaranteed $50. And I wonder, I don't know, I wonder if it's loaded right on the Magic Band already.
Yeah, that's a whole nother question, whether or not Right, because people would want to transfer, you know, if they have a credit card already tied to their Magic Band and they want to use the new festival band. Well, that's interesting, too, because the band is going to come in your gift bag that's allegedly going to be dropped off in your room. So when you get to your room, I'm assuming that your wine and your truffles and all that stuff, as well as your Magic Band, will all be part of that. You probably got to go down to guest services, I'm guessing, and, you know, switch it over, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could load it on there eventually, but you would have to do guest services. I think you were saying you're going down in the fall, and like you said, doing it yourself, the $199 ain't bad, but me and Brenda doing it, or you and your wife,
right.
Now it's four.
Right.
I'll just walk from kiosk to kiosk. I mean, it would be nice to have the band.
Right.
You know, maybe go up to somebody and offer them $100 for it and be done with it.
Right, right.
You know, save yourself $100.
Right.
It's nice if you had extra, you know, cash to blow, but I don't know if it's totally worth it.
Well, you can almost cut it in half like you did when you first did the math on it. So if it's $400, it's really $200 because you'll be getting $100 back in gift certificates and you'll be let into the street party, which gives you six offerings, six complimentary items from several of the food and wine booths. So
no,
it's still $400 no matter how you slice it. But it's, you know, if you back out all of the things that you're going to get, maybe it isn't that unaffordable, if you will.
Yeah, I wonder if you could do this on separate nights. So I wonder if you could do the after-hours party to one night and do the special area another night.
I'm going to guess no, but I have no basis for that. But I'm sure there'll be more information as we go forward. And another thing on the Magic Band, too, I mean, you know, we don't know yet, but there's a chance they could be selling them just as, you know, not going to the festival, but just offering them like they sell the hats and the wine glasses and all that stuff. I mean, for all we know, that you may be able to just buy one for, you know,
like the frozen ones, $30, $29, whatever they were.
Exactly. So if that's your only, you know, if that's what's important to you, maybe you can still acquire a Magic Band without having to participate in this program.
But my deal, the reason I was asking separate nights is because, okay, if you're getting six offerings at the after show, okay, how are you going to enjoy them after you just spent $50 of running food or filling yourself all day at the special area?
Yeah.
There's only so much you can pack on.
Right. Well, I mean, again, World Showcase opens at 11, so you'd have from 11 to 9:45 at night to eat whatever you're going to eat, and then from 9:45 to 1 would be this additional six items. But you're right, that's a lot of food. But again, if you're drinking wine, I mean, I'm assuming, you know, drinks are a part of this too. I mean, it's not necessarily has to be all food.
Yeah, my thing, though, is if you're in this special area and they're hand-delivering it to you, you're not working up an appetite. Half the fun is walking around World Showcase and working it back off. That's what keeps you hungry, am I wrong?
No, I mean, it definitely helps, you know, to burn some calories and just get up and moving, no doubt about that.
I mean, Disney's been trying to promote healthy living and all these 5Ks and 10Ks and changing the menu for the kids and blah, blah, blah. Now they're telling you to park your butt in this private area and we're just going to feed you until you can't move.
Well, some people, that's a good thing. Well, and also, you know, you got to read the fine print here, if you will. You know, it says that you get items from select marketplaces. So, you know, you don't know if they're going to say, okay, you can get stuff from Singapore and, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, it doesn't say which one. So I don't think you could be sitting over by, let's say, the area they have over by the bridge by France there, and you can't say, oh, I think I want a taco from Mexico, and somebody's going to run halfway around the World Showcase Lagoon to get it. I would think that geographically, you know, the kiosks that are available at a given area will be, you know, in the general vicinity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's probably three or four areas,
right,
whatever they are. We don't know if they're going to be seating areas or what they're called. Nobody knows exactly. It's very vague on what it is.
Right, right.
So, you know, you'll have to find out. But I'm sure there's three or four separate seating areas or whatever, or standing areas, whatever, delivery areas I call it,
right,
I guess, But, you know, you're still not working up the same kind of appetite you would if you're constantly strolling around World Showcase,
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfectly good perspective to have. But on the other hand, I mean, if you're with a group or, you know, a larger group or whatever, and you want to enjoy each other's company and be talking, I mean, it can get frustrating at times being in those long, long lines and you're waiting. I mean, if you're just enjoying yourself and talking and whatever, and you know, you have people bringing stuff to you, I mean, I could see the benefit of that. I really could.
Now, are you going to tip these runners or no?
I will, but that's just me. I don't think that it's
necessary. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, I would too, but now that's another cost.
True. Yeah, where you don't necessarily, well, you don't tip when you're just buying stuff at the kiosk. But, no, hey, all good points. I mean, there's pros and cons to all of this.
I'm trying to be the opposite side here, just to point out what other, you know, what people might think. I'm not saying I would hate it. I'm just trying to wrap my head totally around this to see if it's to give our audience the best perspective. I mean, there's a lot of things that you got to add to it, because I would feel guilty if I'm getting six or seven things from the same runner and not give her a 10 spot or, you know what I mean,
right,
something like that. For so this is all added, you know what I mean? And if you do it multiple times or you have different – and then I'm also the type, if I keep getting a different server, I'm going to feel bad not tipping
right
her or him too.
Right. Well, you never know, because I can't remember specifically what issue it was, but excuse me. There are some positions at Disney World where they cannot take a tip. They will not take a tip, and they will argue with you. It's mm-hmm. They're told if you take a tip, you will be reprimanded and or terminated. I don't remember in what instance, but that's happened to me a couple of times. And I ended up working my way around it somehow or another. But, you know, maybe they'll be told that. I don't know, you know, because people will have that added cost, if you will, you know, having the tip. And, again, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, those people work hard and
they deserve
it.
A tip.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know what they're going to be dealing with. I mean, you didn't get – you forgot this, or I wanted that one.
Right.
And I could just see it now. It's going to be – there's a lot going on at Food and Wine, man.
Right.
And a lot of those things, and not being smart, I'm not, you know, being mean here, but the pronunciation of a lot of this stuff.
Right, right.
Just dealing with people and people with different languages trying to explain to the servers what they want.
Right.
You're not sitting at a, it's going to be a fast-paced kind of thing, I would think. It's going to, I'm curious, so if you end up doing it, how smooth it was.
Well,
if it was worth it.
Right, and I mean, we're just assuming there's going to be runners going back to the kiosk. I mean, how do we know? They may bring out platters of, let's just say, you know, say Canada was one of the ones on there. They may bring out three or four big trays of cheddar cheese soup and just walk around the seating area, and anybody that wants soup grabs one. I mean, maybe it's not going to be a one-for-one like you'd have a waiter or a waitress. Maybe they're going to bring it in mass or in quantity, if you will, and then you choose what you want or what you don't want. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
And then I would also be curious if it's going to be as good, because if it's done that way, is it going to be as hot as it would when you get it fresh at the counter?
Right. Well,
these are just all questions.
Yeah.
We got to figure if this is worth $200.
Right. And maybe they look and they see what's popular at the festival and what isn't, and they try to, quote unquote, unload some of the less popular items on people in this for this event. You never know. You never know.
No, you don't. And that's where I'm curious. And there's a lot of things like now with these extra areas, is it going to take up even more spots for you to use for normal people to sit at?
Well, usually the spots that I'm thinking they're going to use are usually roped off for, like, illuminations, private viewing. You know, the areas down by the water,
The little step area
right
across from the stand where you can get the cheeseburgers and fries right there before you get to Canada?
Right, exactly.
I forget the name of that. I can't think right now. But, you know, the blue and white, well, it used to be. Now it's probably brown.
Brown and, tan.
Yeah, tan. But, you know, that's where my wife used to walk. You go down the steps, there's a little planter area there where you can sit by the water. I've got quite a few pictures of my wife because she goes down there because the ducks are always around that area.
Right. Yeah, and they do. They have quite a few areas that are, like I said, roped off that you can't really access during the day or the night. And they're for special occasions. Like, we've seen a couple of wedding parties in there, and, they do use them occasionally. But I'm assuming now those are the areas they're going to use for this. I got to believe that,
Yeah.
they're
Well,
not.
just hopefully they don't take up more areas. Like, you know how they had the benches along Morocco and Italy, like the little tree inlets there,
Yep.
where you can sit on them benches and look across, the lake and lagoon. And
Right.
I hope they don't take up more than what they normally would because of this.
Yeah, I can't imagine they would. I don't think they're going to stop putting out, caution tape and cordon off an area and say you can't come in here right out in the promenade. I mean, I suppose they could, but I can't imagine they'd do that.
No, there's a lot of the wheelchair access areas and stuff like that. You know where I'm talking
Yeah.
about, all along the lagoon. I just hope they don't take away some more of that, because during food and wine, there's not never enough places to stop and eat.
All right. I'm trying to. Well, see, now this is interesting too, because the Epcot, maybe this is just going to be 2 nights a week, because the admission to the Epcot Food and Wine Late Nights Live event that takes place every Tuesday and Thursday. So that means that only runs Tuesday and Thursday. So maybe this program only runs Tuesday and Thursdays, which makes sense, because on the weekend, as you were just saying, it's so packed in there, they probably don't need to do something like this. So maybe this is a way they're trying to boost attendance or profitability during the weekday, during the week, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it doesn't exactly say. I haven't read anywhere what days it actually is,
Right.
but it might correspond with
Yep.
that too. But hopefully, like, I would like to split it in two. Maybe the one day do the eating and let them do the runners and take care of me, then go the maybe go t if you're there for the whole week, maybe go Tuesday and get waited on, and then go Thursday and stay after hours.
Yeah, that would
'Cause
be.
that would be a lot of calories to eat in one day, dude.
Yeah, I hope you're right, Doug, but I seriously doubt if they're going to let you split it. You're going to pay and you do everything in one day. I'm willing to bet.
Yeah, and that would be sad for me because my little belly can't hold all that stuff. It really can't, because you're also going to be eating breakfast, and you're gonna, I mean, that's a lot of things to eat in one day. I mean, the food and wine, it's nice to have five, six, seven things in a day, but you're getting six things after hours, and you're going to want to try all six that they're handing to you.
Well, again, that's what, and we can't answer this question because it's limited information, but it could be you could get a couple of things to eat and a couple glasses of wine or a beer or something. So I don't think you necessarily have to sit there and chow down six entrees, if you will.
But you'll want to if you paid for it. If they're putting it out there, you want to try everything. I know.
Well, yeah, okay, but I'm just saying, if you might want a Perini or something, a beer to wash down your ravioli you have, and so that would count as two, is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to
Oh.
be a food item. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe they'll let you count the beer as the second of the six items, if you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying.
Just little guys like me, we can't eat all day like
Yeah,
that.
well.
Even though at Disney I do eat more when I'm there than I do at home.
Oh, I would think so.
Well, I eat all day
Right.
because I'm constantly burning energy, but it's weird. Like at work, I'll skip lunch a lot of days. Eat late lunch. It's like I don't have a set time,
Right.
blah blah blah. When I'm in Florida, I'm always hungry, so I will say that.
Right.
For some reason, I don't know if it's a mixture of the air and, well, plus the smells. I mean, you smell food everywhere you go down
Oh,
there.
yeah, that always
Especially
gets
in World Showcase.
you.
World Showcase, I swear they have a little fan that blows the food out of the restaurants out into the courtyards.
Yeah, it is a wonderful odors coming from there, and like I said, they have all that food from all over the place, so definitely gets your hunger going, that's for sure.
Well, pretty soon there's going to be some kind of food and deal in every park. You got Harambe Nights going on at Animal Kingdom. Now you got this at Epcot. What's next for the studios? They're going to have Frozen Ice Cream Fest?
Yeah, they. I would think so. I mean, again, for good or for bad, and I've been all over, both sides of this issue. For good or for bad, these special offerings are starting to be commonplace, and again, you know, you weren't against it necessarily, but you were concerned about, you know, extra guests or them taking, you know, spots away from the regular guests. And that's kind of goes back to the point I was making a few weeks ago, that little by little, they're going to, you know, for an upcharge, you can get this and I can't get that. And, you know, I'm just afraid that, you know, 5 years down the road, we're going to be saying, wow, just a regular base ticket, you don't get nothing. You got to pay XX, you know, this, that, and the other thing just to have a good time like everyone else. And that's all I'm concerned about. I mean, is this good or bad? I don't know, this particular offering. But again, it's something that, you know, if I can afford more than you can, I can have a, you know, theoretically a better time or access to, you know, different things with a shorter wait or whatever. And I don't know if that's right.
Yeah, I don't mind any of it if it's after hours and all the time, but I just don't like it where you're getting class. I don't like classifications as far as in the parks. I think everybody should have the same. Everybody knows who listens to me knows it. I hope it never comes to the day where if you stay at the Floridian, you got more privilege than if you stay at the All-Stars. Because what you're paying for, and I know people say, well, I'm paying this much more to stay at the Floridian. No, you're paying to stay at the Floridian to get the amenities that you get at the Floridian. You're getting your concierge. You're getting your restaurants. You're getting your pools, your lazy, all that stuff is what you're paying for.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the parks. Everybody pays the same exact amount to go through the gate.
Right.
And that's the reason why I have the problem. When other shows talk about that, if I stay at the Boardwalk or if I stay at the Grand Floridian, I should get extra fast passes. You did not pay for it. You paid for that resort.
Right.
That's what you got, your amenities. You pay to stay at the Boardwalk or the Yacht and Beach Club. What you're paying for, or the Contemporary Wilderness Lodge or Floridian, you're paying for location. You're able to get in the park, walk in, ride the monorail. If you're an All-Star, you got to ride a darn bus across property. To everything. Am I wrong?
No, that's absolutely true.
You know, if you're staying at the Yacht and Beach Club, you can walk in the back of Epcot and be there in 5 minutes. If you're staying at any of the other resorts, you're some days on a 20-minute to a half-hour bus ride. So that's what your perks are. You should not have the advantage of standing in line with your two little girls or two boys and somebody else has stayed at the Floridian with their boys. They shouldn't be any class better than you because you all paid $400 for that one day to get in the park. Am I wrong?
No, in theory, you're not in theory, you are absolutely correct, and that's the way it's always been, and I can't cite an example where that isn't the case with any of these offerings. You mentioned Harambe Nights and a couple of the other ones, because you're right, it's happening after the normal park hours, so it isn't impacting, you know, the day guest or
feeling slighted.
Or, right, at least at this time, but I'm just, you know, I don't want to be, you know, Dennis the Downer here, but I just have a bad feeling about this, that at some point these things are going to start impacting, you know, you against me. And I'm just using us as an example. I don't mean you against me, but, you know, if I have $50 more, I'm going to get, you know, something better, or, you know, I can cut a line, or I can get this item that you can't get. And I'm just very wary about this stuff, that it's going to come to that. You know, little by little, they're going to sneak it in. And with all these new offerings they're having, I see it going in that direction. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I just have a bad feeling about this.
Well, I'm trying to stay on the side of they're trying to offer, take advantage of every hour of the day, and the people that are asking for this type of stuff are willing to stay after hours to see it. So I'm okay with it until the day, like I said, when stay at what resort you stay at matters about what ride you can get on. Then that's when I'm really gonna, you know, blow up, because because some people don't. Okay, this trip here I'm going down, I'm staying at Riverside because I love Riverside, but I also thought about really just because of my discounts with the agency and everything else like that. I want to roam around and be at the park so much. If my wife wasn't wanting to lay by the pool and relax and all, if we were just going to go commando through the parks, I thought about staying at Pop.
Right.
I'm choosing to do that, and I'm going to give up some. I would have gave up some of the amenities of the resort because I didn't feel like I was going to be there.
Right.
So you're paying to have the spa and all that stuff at the Floridian or the Four Seasons now. They're supposed to have a beautiful spa, new boutiques. That's what you're paying for, the pamperedness you get when you're at the hotel, the extra employees, the people roaming around. Because, you know, there's more people trying to do things for you. The higher up the hotel you go, there's more guest services taking care of you. Am I wrong?
No, it's just right. You're absolutely right. I mean, it just seems to be more of everything, and you know that's probably the way it should be.
Exactly. There seems to be not to be smart, but there's more meandering guest service people,
right.
Cast members at the higher up resort. You say you seem to be asked more. How is everything?
Yeah.
Do you need any? You know, there's always somebody to talk to. And that's what you're paying for. You're paying for, like, at Riverside, the main pool, Old Man's Island, and then you have the five or six quiet pools.
Well, I mean, I've been trying to rack my brain thinking about something. Let me introduce this into the conversation. So, you know, you're always saying it should be fair and everyone should get access to the same thing. But Disney kind of does it. And again, maybe this is not a good example, but let me try it. I mean, if you stay as a Walt Disney World Resort guest, you get extra magic hours after and before. If you're the Joe Schmo out on 192, you don't get access to those extra hours. So you can say that they're already, and I understand why, they're taking care of their, you know, guests that are staying on property. But, you know, it's a class thing, but still, that's something that...
But it's, again, it's after hours.
Or before.
So it's something that you added to. You're not taking anything away from that normal park hour day. Everybody's treated the same on that normal park hour day. You chose to stay out on 192. You could have chose to stay at the All-Star.
Right, but not necessarily, because look at it like this. Okay, we're both going to the Magic Kingdom. I'm staying outside. You stayed at Pop. So you can get there at 6 o'clock in the morning, you and thousands of other guests. So the park fills up earlier, the lines are longer, so by the time Joe Schmo comes from outside on 192, my experience is different because the lines are longer. Now I got to wait longer because Disney let all its guests in 3 hours before I could get in. So it does affect my day.
Yeah, but you chose not to stay on property.
Right.
That's the perk of staying on property. I'm just saying, if you stay on property, everybody should be equal.
Okay, but I'm just saying, there's an example of how it isn't necessarily equal for everyone. It's with the caveat if you're staying on Disney property, which I get. I'm not arguing that point, but I'm just saying there's already this hierarchy set up that you get something special because you stay, you know, at a Disney World resort. Well, what's to stop them? Like I said, the next step is, well, if you stay at a Disney resort, you know, we're going to give you an extra fast pass over everyone else that's outside. And then what if they say, you know, and then that slowly goes down the road of, well, if you're at a you know, one of the luxury resorts or whatever, we're going to give you two. And then, you know, that goes down the road that you do not want to go down. And I get it. But that's why I can see this heading in that direction, not with fast passes, but something that, like you said, yeah, they want to take care of their guests. And how do you do that? You give them something that you can't get if you do, you know, stay outside or stay at a lesser value resort or whatever.
Yeah, well, that extra magic hours has been going on now for, what, 20 years?
Oh, at least. Yeah, it seems like forever.
Yeah, I don't think it was the first year it went down. I think extra magic hours started around 2000.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, because 97 was our first years down there, and it wasn't available that year, I don't think.
Right.
But I kind of remember it a year or two after because I remember a year or two after when it first started, we were actually staying at the Swan and Dolphin that week, and we were, like, worried that we're, like, all these people,
right,
what's these bands for? And we're like, you know, how they hooked the band on, and we're like, why can't I get it? And
right,
then I went over to a cast member, and they said, you're at the Swan and Dolphin, you get it too. And me and Brenda were like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. We're staying late at Epcot. And it was
great.
We did, like, a test track, like, four times. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I kind of get the inside and outside because most things are like that if you stay on the property. Like, if you're at Atlantis, you get more perks if you stay there than people staying at the other hotels in Bahamas. Everybody can come over and use the casino, but they can't use everything.
Right. Oh yeah, and I'm not even saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's the way it is, and you know, but you draw that line clearly in the sand, which you don't want to see perks, tiers of perks, let's call it, within the resort itself. Once you're on property and we're all the same, you know, in theory,
once
whether
you cross that gate to stay the night, everybody's sleeping in the same a hierarchy. Just you decide on what kind of pampering you want.
Exactly, exactly.
But when you go in the park, everybody should always be, you know, treated the same.
Right.
Everybody on My Magic Experience should be able to do the same things as far as book their reservations, dining, whatever the heck they want. And these extra hour parties, I'm fine with, because, like I said, eventually one of these years, hopefully, God willing, well, I'll be living down there. And I'll be able to enjoy that stuff.
Exactly.
Because I don't think it's really, like, with you going, it's fine. Because, like, if I was doing solo trips, yeah, there's ways to justify it. But once you cross that three or four family member, two, three, four family member threshold, then it starts to become a mortgage payment.
Yeah, it's not affordable at that point, at least for, you know, people like us. I mean, somebody that's staying at the Four Seasons probably would, you know, if there's six people in their family, if you can stay at the Four Seasons for the week, you don't care about a stupid $200 per person upcharge for food and wine. I mean, money's no object, but I mean, again, everyone's different.
No, they're just probably paying that same thing for a bottle of wine during dinner.
That's what I'm saying. The money to us.
Yeah, give me the $800 bottle.
Right.
You know,
like,
to us, it's like, oh.
Right, it's a mortgage payment. You're absolutely right. It's just, you know, we look at things through the eyes of, you know, we know our finances and how we save for a vacation. But, you know, there's many people that, you know, they don't even look at what the bill is. They put everything on a card and they just sign when they leave, and they really don't even care what it costs. I mean, I can't imagine doing that, but there are lots of people that you know, travel to Disney that operate like that.
Yeah, well, I'm happy. I'm going to be happy to just go to our friend Bob Winter Sunshine Seasons this week, or this next month when we go, this trip.
Yes, the champion of Epcot, sit-down, table service.
Yeah, or counter
service. Service, excuse me.
You'll get it right sooner
or
later.
2 years in the running.
Yeah, nobody seen that coming, did they?
No. It's I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have guessed the Liberty Inn.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'd have chose the. I like the one bracket with the popcorn, the Canadian popcorn stand, and with Liberty Inn.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if it would have just been the two of them, I'd have chose the Canadian popcorn stand. And I love the way our buddy Bob picked on me on the last on his website.
Oh yeah,
saying that I like lamb meatballs and Liberty Inn.
Yeah, yeah.
Not true at all.
You'll have to.
If they were the last things in the park, I'd leave.
Right, right.
That's the point I'm at. Unless my wife drug me over to try to get another hamburger. The woman don't even like eating hamburgers at home. I don't get it.
Oh man.
She don't like hamburgers at home, but we get down there, she wants to have, for some reason, she gets in the mood for a hamburger or a hot dog at the Liberty Inn. If we try to have hot dogs more than twice, if I try to get a hot dog a second time in a month, I get the evil eye.
Right, right.
But we're down there for some reason, boy, it's like a magnet's drawing her over there.
Yeah, well, she's on vacation. She, you know, she can have what she wants, right?
She lets us off the hook down there.
Right.
So, well, if that's going to be about it for this week, Dan, you got anything else you want to put out there?
No, that's pretty much it. Just like you had said at the beginning of the show, please download our podcast from Podbean and on iTunes. And if you would be so kind to leave us a review, we would really appreciate it. We got quite a few already, and we'd like to see a couple more. So please do help us out and get the word out there about WDW Main Street.
Yep, and hop on over to our website at WDW Magical Main Street Memories and check out all of our sponsors. And you could also hit the podcast button and go right to the show from there, or hit the travel button, and we could hook you up with a Disney vacation. So that's going to be it for this week, Dan. I got out of buying last week, so I'm going to make you buy again this week.
Oh, okay. You're quite a guy. Well, you're the birthday boy one day removed, so I guess I'll let you slide.
Thanks, buddy. That's why I ordered the extra extra Bloody Mary this morning.
There you go.
Get over to birthday bash. Yeah, that we had just, it was me, my wife, and my mother-in-law. What a beautiful day that was. Nice and peaceful.
Nice.
So that'll be it, guys. Have a wonderful week, and we really enjoyed talking Disney with you again. Have a good week, Dan.
You too, Doug.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.